A history-making soccer celebration, the latest development in the case of a team name many view as racist, myself among them, and a question of progress for female football players, American football in that case. We'll get to all of those topics in three stories you should know, our look at the sports news you might have missed this week. My guests are USA Today columnist Nancy Armour, who joins me from WBEZ in Chicago, and Yahoo Sports contributor Danielle Elliott, who joins me from NPR's New York Bureau. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thanks.
Nancy, you covered the Women's World Cup for USA Today. Lucky you, as far as I'm concerned. But before we get to your topic, I'd like to ask you to describe the scene as those U.S. women overwhelmed Japan 5-2 in the final on Sunday in Vancouver.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that they scored four goals in the first 16 minutes. I've not seen anything like that before. At one point, I turned to one of my colleagues and said, is there a slaughter rule for the World Cup final?
Like when kids play, they stop
it. Exactly. But it was really neat to see because, you know, this is the first title since 99. And for some women like Abby Wambach, who has done so much for the game and who has accomplished so much, the one thing that was missing on her resume was a World Cup title. And to see her celebrate was really neat. And just the joy and the spirit that the team has and the care that they have for each other. I mean, this really was a team effort.
The women's victory prompted New York City to throw a ticker tape parade in the Canyon of Heroes. This was the first ever such parade for a female sports team, which brings us to your topic for this week, right?
Yes. It's interesting because, as you said, it's the first ticker tape parade for a women's team. It's also the first time any female athlete has been honored since Carol Heiss in 1960. Mm. So we're talking 55 years. You know, the Yankees have gotten parades. The Giants have gotten parades. So this is really a monumental thing. The question is now, where does the women's game go from here? The league resumes play this weekend, the NWSL, and this is a pivotal season. The other two women's soccer leagues that there have been in the U.S. have folded after their third season, and this is the NWSL's third season. Mm-hmm. They are starting to see an uptick in tickets. Portland draws about 13,000 just on average, but, you know, the attendance for most NWSL games so far has been roughly 4,000, 3,500, something like that. So the organizers of the league, the players, are hoping that this will translate into people wanting to come out and see them play on a regular basis.
Danielle, Nancy said monumental regarding this parade in the Canyon of Heroes. Monumental seem like the right adjective to you?
Absolutely. I was just down there for about an hour before coming in today, and I've been to those Yankees parades. I've been to the Giants parades. This was on par, if not much better. Everyone was just chanting USA. It was just, I mean, it was amazing.
Obviously, there is momentum, but really what's different? Hey, that was true back in 1999 as well. Is there really something that gives us some reason to be optimistic about this?
When you think back to 99, there wasn't a league at that point. I think the fact that there is a league already in place or currently in place gives them the potential to capitalize on the momentum, whereas it's a lot harder to do when, oh, hey, remember that team from 2 years ago or 3 years ago? Well, now they're playing again.
Moving along, my story involves the latest development regarding a lawsuit first filed 25 years ago. On Wednesday, Judge Gerald Bruce Lee affirmed that the NFL team in Washington, D.C. is not entitled to trademark their name because it's a racial slur, as defined, by the way, in the dictionary. Team officials have said they plan to appeal the latest ruling. Dave Zirin, the sports editor for The Nation, has compared them to, quote, half-mad generals braying orders on the battlefield long after the war has ended. I think he's got that about right. It's way past time for the Washington franchise to change their name. Danielle, I understand you were once a part of a similar debate.
I was. My junior year in high school, my school decided to change our mascot from the one that's currently used by the Washington football team. We ended up changing it to the Red Hawks.
Which side were you on at the time?
I was on the side that I don't like to admit I was on. I was in favor of keeping the name at that time. I'm happy to say that I've grown up and I am no longer on that side whatsoever.
Nancy, the legal process isn't over, but, you know, what do you think? What would it take for a name change to actually occur?
Well, I think some common sense on the part of Daniel Snyder, which seems to be in short supply when it comes to him. I was up in Minnesota last fall when the Washington team played the Vikings, and there's obviously a very large Native American population in Minnesota. If you talk to Native Americans, they say it's offensive. We don't get to tell them what they should be offended by and what they shouldn't be offended by.
Okay, Danielle, it's your turn. Tell us about your story that people might have missed.
A high school in Kansas City, Missouri, announced this week that a girl will be the starting quarterback on the freshman team. I think the most interesting part of the story was that the guys on her team said, "We don't understand why this is a story. She's played peewee with us. She's the best quarterback at our age. So why shouldn't she start?" Mm-hmm. I mean, we also have a girls' tackle football league that just started in Utah. There's so many questions around football for boys. The debate is out there. Should anybody be playing? Should we be adding leagues for girls? But in the middle of all of that, we have a girl starting at quarterback in Missouri.
Nancy, what do you think?
Well, the thing that jumps out to me is the fact that those girls' teammates were saying, "What's the big deal?" To them, it's unfathomable that you would think to separate them, that you would think that you wouldn't be able to play, which I think is a beautiful thing. And that's, you know, what we should be striving to achieve as a society.
I'm going to have to toss a little cold water on this one because I respond to this story a little bit the same way as I respond when people say to me, "What do you think about women boxing?" And I say, "I don't think women should be boxing, but I don't think men should be boxing either." Head injuries, the concussions, the lying by the NFL, the covering up of what was happening, even doctors misrepresenting what had happened to the players. We know from studies that girls and young women are even more prone to concussions than boys and men are. And I just really can't see anything too good coming from this, although I recognize mine may be an unpopular view. Danielle, you want to have the final word on that one?
People have come out saying girls are stronger than boys in middle school. And I mean, I spoke to a mother who had let her daughter play football throughout her childhood. And she said, "Yes, my daughter loves it. She's great at it. But when she's 13, she won't be playing anymore because that's when boys do start to just become that much bigger and stronger." So she wasn't even talking about concussions. She was just talking about other potential injuries because, you know, there's a lot more that can happen on a football field than a concussion.
My guests for Three Stories You Should Know have been Yahoo Sports contributor Danielle Elliott and USA Today columnist Nancy Armour. Thank you, Nancy, very much.
Thank you, Bill.
And Danielle, I really appreciate your presence. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
My conversation with Nancy Armour and Danielle Elliott was recorded on Friday afternoon.